This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, IMEMC.org, for December the 1st through to December the 7th, 2007. The Israeli army kills 19 Palestinians this week while following the Washington-sponsored peace summit in Annapolis, Maryland, last Tuesday. The Palestinian and Israeli delegations returned home with numerous issues to discuss. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent actions in Bethlehem and Ramallah. At this week's anti-war protest in Al-Masara village, south of the West Bank city of Bethlehem, the Israeli army attacked journalists who were reporting the event. The protesters, which included both local residents and international peace activists, took to the street of village on Friday. When they reached the construction site, the protesters were attacked by soldiers wielding batons and rifles. Two protesters were injured and two internationals were detained. Among those attacked were two Palestinian journalists, Musa Al-Shaya and Nasser Shouki, who were working for the Associated Press and French Press, respectively. Al-Shaya talked to IMEMC.
What happened, you know, we were near the demonstration, which is usual happening every Friday. They pushed us toughly and they arrested two of our colleagues, you know, Iyad from APTN and Mohammed from Reuters. They didn't warn us, you know, but it seems they are increasing their, you know, tough behaviors against the journalists. Also, it depends on the officer who is controlling the soldiers. So today the officer was really tough, you know.
Both Reuters reporters were released shortly after. In the meantime, the villagers of the village of Belain near Ramallah City, along with their international and Israeli supporters, conducted their weekly protest on Friday. The protesters carried Palestinian flags and banners celebrating the 20th anniversary of the First Intifada. They chanted slogans which call for the dismantling of the separation wall and the settlements, the removal of the military checkpoints and the release of Palestinian detainees from Israeli jails. The Israeli army installed a barbed wire roadblock to try and prevent the protesters reaching the construction site. However, the protesters managed to pass the roadblock and staged a one-hour protest at the site. When the protesters were returning, the army showered them with tear gas and sand bombs. They also fired rubber-coated bullets at the crowd. Many protesters, including young children, suffered from tear gas inhalation. Four protesters were beaten harshly by the soldiers, including a female peace activist, a journalist, and an elderly local man. Also near Ramallah, and for the second week running, residents of villages located west of the city of Ramallah were joined by international and Israeli peace activists in their peaceful demonstration. They were protesting against the closure of Road 443 to them. The road passes through their lands and connects them with the West Bank city of Ramallah. When the protesters reached the street, soldiers attacked protesters with gas and sand bombs and fired rubber-coated bullets. Dozens suffered after inhaling gas and three children were hit by rubber-coated bullets. Following the Washington-sponsored peace summit in Annapolis, Maryland, last Tuesday, the Palestinian and Israeli delegations returned home with numerous issues to discuss, none of which have been tackled yet, despite the parties' agreements to resume talks at home. IMEMC's Nate Brayman has more.
Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni stated this week that the Arab-Palestinian population, which makes up 20% of the Israeli state, should live in a future Palestinian state, the boundaries of which are yet to be determined. The remarks were rejected by Arab community leaders and lawmakers who reiterated their commitment to a year-old document which calls for their equal rights with the Jewish population. In 1948, Israel displaced hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, while about 1,500,000 others remained on their lands, accepting to be part of the newly created State of Israel. Also this week, Israel resumed construction on major settlement blocks in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, areas on which Palestinians wish to establish their state. The Israeli construction contravenes international law. It also ignores the United States' renewed demand for Israel to halt any settlement activities on the ground, citing such actions as inconsistent with peacemaking. A Palestinian presidential spokesperson branded the latest decision to resume settlement building in the Jewish enclave of Har Homa as contrary to what has been agreed upon at the Annapolis Peace Conference. On Friday, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon deemed the continuation of Israeli settlement building in the West Bank as unhelpful to peacemaking. Meanwhile, Egyptian Foreign Minister Ahmad Abu Al-Hit echoed the same stance. In Jordan, which has a peace treaty with Israel, a Jordanian government spokesperson criticized the settlement building as contradicting the peacemaking effort. Also this week, the Israeli army stepped up attacks on the Gaza Strip. More than 22 people, 18 of them Hamas fighters, were killed by Israeli army attacks on the coastal region, which would also form part of the expected Palestinian state. Gaza has also suffered this week from a shortage of fuel. due to the Israeli government's decision to reduce the amount of fuel supplies available to the 1.4 million residents of Gaza. Since the decision was made last October, it has been criticized by many local and international bodies as amounting to a collective punishment. Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak had stated this week that his army is prepared to carry out a large-scale ground offensive to stop the Palestinian homemade rocket attacks from Gaza, which are aimed at nearby Israeli towns. Mamoun Al-Khuzandar, spokesperson of the Fuel Stations Owners Syndicate, talked to IMEMC.
90,000 liters would never meet our daily needs here. We do not have any other alternative sources of energy. We do not have coal or wood. We are dependent on gasoline for all aspects of daily life.
Israel, in the meantime, released 429 Palestinian prisoners from southern Israeli jails on Monday in what it described as a gesture of goodwill towards Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Iyad Ebiyat is a released Palestinian prisoner from the West Bank city of Bethlehem. He was in prison for nearly 4 years.
We hold a message from our brothers we left inside the prisons. The situation inside is extremely miserable. We urge President Abbas to take brave steps for the internal situation, mainly the Palestinian people's unity.
Internally, a number of Fatah members of parliament called for a ministerial reshuffle with the cabinet of Salam Fayyad, who the United States and other Western countries view as a moderate Palestinian leader. According to the Sharq al-Awsat Arabic Daily in London, the Fatah MPs believe that the changes are necessary due to the performance of some of the ministers. Palestinians and Israelis agreed last week in Washington to restart stalled peace talks on core issues such as the status of the occupied East Jerusalem, the borders of a Palestinian state, and the problem of Palestinian refugees. Israel had recently demanded that the Palestinians recognize it as a Jewish state, which would mean dropping the Palestinian refugees' right of return to historical Palestine. For IMEMC.org, this is Nate Bremen.
This week, Israel conducted at least 19 military incursions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. The invasions resulted in the death of 2 Palestinians and the kidnapping of 56, including one child. This brings the total number of Palestinians kidnapped by the Israeli army in the West Bank to 2,525 since the beginning of this year. IMEMC's Brian Okiani with the details.
On Thursday morning, Israeli army forces invaded the northern West Bank city of Jenin and the nearby Jenin refugee camp, injuring one Palestinian. Local sources reported that Israeli forces surrounded a house belonging to an Islamic Jihad resistance fighter. Troops invaded the house and opened fire, injuring the man. The sources reported that the injured man managed to escape but sustained light wounds. One Palestinian man was killed and several others injured when an undercover Israeli army unit invaded the city of Bethlehem on Wednesday evening. Mohammed Salah from Bethlehem, an officer of the National Security Forces, was shot when Israeli special forces travelling in a civilian van opened fire. The gunfire hit Salah and several other officers as they were guarding the entrance to the headquarters of the National Security Forces in Bethlehem. Shortly after Salah was shot, an armoured personnel carrier and a number of Israeli military jeeps arrived at the scene in order to secure the withdrawal of the Israeli troops. On Tuesday of this week, Palestinian medical sources reported that one Palestinian man was injured when clashes erupted between civilians and invading Israeli troops in the village of Beit Omar near the southern West Bank city of Hebron. Ahmed Sabara, aged 24, was injured in the leg after being hit by a live round. A Palestinian man died of wounds he received when he was shot by Israeli military forces in Atira village in the central West Bank city of Ramallah. Local sources reported the death of Firas Kaskas, aged 31, following injuries he sustained on Sunday night. He died early Monday morning. Israeli troops had opened fire on Kaskas and his relatives as they walked through the village. Medical sources reported that Kaskas underwent 3 operations in Ramallah local hospital, but medics were unable to save his life. For IMEMC.org, this is Brian O'Kenny.
While Israeli army attacks left 17 dead this week in Gaza, Palestinian sources said that several medical centres and clinics in the coastal region have closed due to fuel shortage. IMEMC's Rami Amagari in Gaza has the details.
Medical sources in the Gaza Strip reported this week that in the latest attacks, the Israeli army has used weapons which are deemed illegal by international law. Medics at various Gaza hospitals reported that the tank shells and missiles fired by the Israeli army in these attacks were not the types traditionally used and are designed to cause more severe injury to targets. The death toll in Gaza from Israeli attacks this week now stands at 17. On a Friday, the Israeli army shot and killed a 30-year-old farmer in his field near the coastal region's borderline with Israel. The man was identified as Bajet Abu Dakka, 26. A second man, the victim's cousin, was wounded in the incident, according to local sources. One Palestinian was killed on Thursday morning when Israeli military forces opened heavy random fire on a group of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip city of Jabalia. Medical sources identified the man as Majid Matar, 34. In a separate operation, Israeli military forces shot two targets in Beit Hanun and Beit Laya in the northern Gaza Strip in the early hours of Thursday morning. On Wednesday, three Palestinian resistance fighters from the Al-Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, were killed when Israel targeted a group of resistance fighters in the northern Gaza town of Beit Laya. Israeli airstrikes killed three Palestinians in the central Gaza Strip city of Deir al-Balah in the early hours of Tuesday morning. Earlier on Monday, security sources in Gaza reported that the three Palestinian resistance fighters who belonged to the Al-Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, were killed when clashes broke out between Palestinians and the Israeli army. Palestinian medical sources reported that one Palestinian was killed and six others injured in an Israeli airstrike that targeted a group of residents gathered near a graveyard on Saturday afternoon in eastern Gaza. On Saturday morning, Israeli forces assassinated a group of five resistance fighters in Khan Yunis in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. According to the Hamas movement, the five were members of the Al-Qassam Brigades. While the Israeli army attacks go unabated, medical sources in the coastal region reported on Wednesday that several medical centers and clinics in the Gaza Strip have closed due to fuel shortages. The shortage has come from Israel's decision to reduce fuel supplies to the Gaza Strip, which took effect earlier this week. Medical centers are not the only ones affected by the fuel shortage. The 1.5 million Palestinian residents of Gaza are unable to travel by car between locations within the Gaza borders, since there is no longer fuel available for transport. The population is already prevented from traveling anywhere outside of Gaza, as Israeli forces have completely sealed off the borders. In addition, many Palestinians who depend on gas for cooking food will be unable to do so with the cut off in place. Adding to the worries of the Gaza residents this week, the Israeli chief of staff, Gabi Ashkenazi, stated that Israeli military forces are ready for a wider-scale ground invasion of the Gaza Strip. Israeli and international human rights groups had already deemed that the Israeli army's actions in Gaza constitute a collective punishment. In addition, concerns were raised that a humanitarian crisis is just around the corner in Gaza. For IFEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mighari in Gaza.
The internal unrest in Palestine continues, with Fatah and Hamas security forces detaining each other's members across the West Bank and Gaza. IMEMC's Manar Jabreen with the details.
The Al-Quds Al-Arabi newspaper reported this week that a Palestinian security officer in the West Bank has stated that Hamas is deemed by the security force to be an outlawed movement. According to the paper, the official was quoted as saying that Hamas is an illegal movement and must be uprooted from the West Bank. The official also claimed that the Palestinian government in the West Bank has not made a public announcement regarding the outlawing of Hamas because it considers it a matter for security officials, the paper added. This week, Palestinian security forces loyal to the Fatah movement arrested dozens of Hamas members and supporters across the West Bank. Meanwhile, Fatah sources in Gaza claimed on Sunday that the police forces of the deposed Hamas-led government had arrested four Fatah members and took them to unknown destinations. In mid-June, Hamas took control of the Gaza Strip and assumed control of the Palestinian security headquarters, which had been dominated by Fatah. Following this, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas declared the Hamas-formed and controlled executive force illegal. For IMEMC.org, this is Manar Jibreen.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupy Bethlehem. This is Louisa White and Ghassan Benora.